Jochebed called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Let's pray. Father, I ask for ease and the ability to speak with clarity today. I ask that the power of our Spirit be here, that you'll touch each and every heart here today, that lives will be changed and souls be saved for your glory. I ask you to bless Brother Kincaid as he's in Guatemala, and give him a safe trip down there, and bless him and give him much rest. And Lord, I ask you to heal Miss Pitts and give her rest. And Lord, any other problems here, I just ask that your hand will be there, that Jesus will be Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thinking of what I was going to preach this week, I started going through and began wondering, as I usually do. It takes me weeks to get up a topic, and then I have to spend all Saturday night working on the sermon. And the Lord brought me to this. You know, in verse 10, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that what we want? We want God to bless us.
Amen.
And that's what Jabez wanted. And there's not much said about Jabez, but you know what? He called upon the God of Israel. He asked that God would bless him. He asked God that he'd bless him in a certain way. And you know what it says right down there in the verse 10? It says, And God granted him that which he requested.
Amen.
Oh, that we'd learn to pray. God answers prayer. Oh, that we'd learn to pray that God would bless us. I want to ask you something. Do you want to be the blessed man? Or are you the blessed man? Do you want to receive the blessings of God? Do you want to be the man that God calls the blessed man? I think we're going to find it this morning. But first of all, what is blessed? Who is the blessed? I think about when I was a little child. I'd work all week long, you know, doing dishes, take out the garbage or whatever. And at the end of the week on Friday, when my father got paid, he'd hand me 50 cents. Glory, boy. I was blessed. Boy, just dad, take me down to the bank. Got to put it in the bank here and save it up so I get some interest, you know. I was really blessed. But then I grew up, and later on, you know, I had to go out and work in the yard a little bit, rake and shovel snow or whatever it was. And at the end of the week, my dad would give me a dollar. And glory to God, boy, I was really blessed, a dollar. And 50 cents no longer blessed me anymore. It was the dollar that gave me the blessing. Then later on, I grew up and started working at Hardee's in these different areas that I worked in and different jobs, and I'd get paid $60 to $100 a week. And man, that dollar didn't bless me no more. Boy, you know what blessed me now? $60 blessed me. And then I get in the Air Force, and they give me $150, $200 every 2 weeks, and boy, $60 ain't nothing no more. I tell you for sure. But isn't it amazing how different things bless us? And how sometimes they can bless us, and on other days they don't bless us. And what really blesses you today? Are you blessed with your home? I think of people that go out, my parents moved every year. They'd get into a house, they'd work in that house all year long, they'd be tearing down doors, they'd be building furniture here, they'd be building cupboards here, they'd be doing all this stuff, and all of a sudden at the end of the year they'd say, well, this house just don't bless us no more, we've got to move on. And they'd go on, and they'd go move somewhere else. And I look at America, and I look at myself. We get these automobiles, brand new automobiles. I mean, brand new. We went out and paid $7,000 for it, you know, air conditioning, got AM, FM radio in it, got a little thing that goes open on the roof here. You know, the radio's just playing all the time. We got a built-in CB, and, you know, it's just great. We got cruise control, and everything just all built up, a bathtub in the back seat, you know. Everything's there, you know. We drive it for about a year and said, man, this just don't bless me, Lord. You got to go out and put $10,000 on another new car. But isn't it amazing now, these things only bless us temporarily, not for a very long period of time. But what blesses you this morning? Is it your home? Is it your brand new car? Is it your CB radio? Is it your golf clubs? Is it your bowling ball? I mean, what is your blessing? Where is your blessing? Does it come from God? I want to show you from the Word of God where the blessed man is. Where the blessed man is. I think the Word of God is truth, and we're going to find it from there.
Amen.
If you would, turn to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. I want you to know the first word here is blessed. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. In verse 1 it says, Blessed is the man. You want to know the blessed man? We're going to find out. There it is. There it is in plain black and white, right in front of you. Blessed is the man. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let me ask you something. Where is your counsel today? Where does your counsel come from? Does it come from the Word or does it come from the Word of God? Where is your counsel coming from? Is it the ungodly counsel? And I thought about the ungodly counsel. I thought, what kind of counsel does men give us? What kind of counsel does the world give us today? And I thought about how you turn on TV and you see the leaders of our time, the president and the mayors and whatever it may be, they tell us, all right, here's what's going to happen, world. We're going to reduce unemployment, yet unemployment keeps on going up. We're going to reduce inflation. Inflation's going to go down, yet the dollar keeps inflating. We're going to get rid of crime. We're going to get rid of the murders. We're going to lower the rape rate. We're going to lower the theft rate. We're going to lower everything, and everything's going to get good. And we're going to stop all wars. We're going to have peace. We're going to put armistice on the weapons. We're going to have salt talks and everything else. You just listen to us. You just listen to our counsel, and we'll set you straight. But as I look at the results of their counsel, it always comes out wickedness. The dollar doesn't buy as much as it used to be. I remember when I was little, that 50 cents could buy me a whole bunch of stuff. But 50 cents today can barely get you a bubble gum and a pop. Just barely. And I look back and I thought about how the wars are continually here. They thought World War II was going to be the end, but it wasn't. They thought the Korean War would surely be the end, but it wasn't. Then the Vietnam War comes, and it wasn't. And wars are continually coming. And the counsel of this world today, that the leaders of our world today give us, that there's going to be peace on earth, but it's not. It's going to get worse and worse and worse until Jesus returns.
Amen.
I thought about the counsel of our teachers in our public schools today. And what is it that we are taught in our schools? Well, you go into science class and you know what they tell you? Yeah, this is funny. You know what they tell you? They tell you your grandfather was a monkey. And they tell you your uncle was an ape. Now, your grandfather may be a monkey and your uncle may be an ape, but not mine.
Amen.
Not mine. Now, if we listen to the counsel of teachers, we're going to go the wrong way. But the counsel of God says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We didn't come from a little blob that started out in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden dust particles came in, and then it got a little bit bigger and bigger, and pretty soon exploded. And then all of a sudden we got the world, and somehow in the world we got water, and somehow in the water we got this little molecule down here that got life, which was dead before. We don't know how it happened. But very soon then we got this man. And lo and behold, we got man, the answer where man came from. And then you ask, where did woman come from? Oh, I don't know about that. Same chances, right? If we listen to him constantly in God, you're not the blessed man. Where else do we go? We open up our newspapers. What do we find? We find this fantastic story about Joe Schmo down the road saw this green Martian from planet Pluto. Oh, man, there's the answer to our problems. There's the answer. It's these Martians that came out and they built these pyramids, you know. They did all this stuff. We got the answer now, according to the papers here. We read the Star, we read the Daily Express and the Light, and we find all these stories about these different creatures that came to the earth. And, oh, what about the Bermuda Triangle? Oh, it has to be these outer space creatures, you know. That's the counsel of the ungodly. The counsel of the ungodly. We go to the world. You know what the world says? Oh, don't worry about God. God is a God of love. He'll surely love you. Let's eat, drink, and be merry now. For tomorrow we perish, but we're just going to go ahead and live here. We're just going to enjoy the world. Let's get all the sex we can get. Let's get all the drugs that we can get. Let's get all the love we can get. Let's just go ahead and take everything we can get. And don't forget about everything else. Don't worry about the judgment of God. God is a God of love. The counsel of ungodly. You know what God told that rich man over there in Luke? Who sat up and said he had all his barns filled, he had all his money. And he said, boy, I'm going to live a long time. You know, I got everything set. I got my stock market set up here. I got my treasury over here in the bank. My gold is fine. I got my money in the Swiss banks, and my money's in the German mark that's doing better than the American dollar here. And I got everything set up. And boy, I'm just going to live back and sit back and take it easy for a few years. You know, God said, thou fool. This night thy soul's going to require of thee. This night. And my friend, if you're trusting in the riches of this world and laying up for treasures, you better watch out. Because a death angel is going to come knocking at your door. But that's the counsel of God. And you'll not be the blessed man if you follow that counsel. What other counsel we get? We turn to the world of religion. And we find many different counsels, many different subjects, different directions. We turn to one church, the Catholic Church. They'll tell you that if you follow the sacraments, if you light enough candles, if you pray to Mary, if you count your beads, you do quite a number of things, and different things, and maybe, just maybe, you might get to heaven. If you don't completely follow it, then we got an escape route here. We'll let you go into purgatory. And then if you get enough money and pray enough and go to the priest, then we'll get you out of purgatory and get you to heaven. The counts to be ungodly. They go into a Campbellite church that tells you that you got to repent and believe, which is true. But then they add, you got to be baptized in water. You got to obey the teachings of Jesus. And just as Brother Taylor brought out earlier this morning, you don't add nothing to the Passover lamb.
Amen.
You don't add nothing. They'll tell you that you got to follow all the teachings of Jesus. And you ask them, have you followed the teachings of Jesus? And you look at their life, and they haven't. You ask them, have you read the Word of God completely? And most of the times they say no. Oh, they've read the New Testament. Oh, they can tell you all about the New Testament, but have they ever read the Old? No. Let me tell you something, my friend. Baptism will not save you. You can go out there and get in that tub 100,000 times and will not save you. Won't get you one bit closer to heaven. Not one inch. Let me tell you something. All the good works and all the good deeds you could do this morning will not get you closer to heaven. There's only one thing that will get you to heaven. That's Jesus Christ. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Your works won't do it. We go on to the do-gooders. You ever heard of the do-good society? They tell you, well, you just be good, and if your good outweighs your bad when you get to glory, then God will let you go to heaven, and if your bad outweighs your good, well, then you go to hell. So you just try to be good. And they tell you, give your money to the church, give it to the National Lung Society, give it to the Heart Association, give it to the Toenail Society, and the Footnail Society, and give it to the Ear and Nose Society. Just be good, and just give your money here and there, and don't murder anybody, and don't rape nobody, don't kill nobody, don't steal. And you just live your own life and go your own way, and then God will surely accept you. After all, God is a God of love. That's a counsel of the ungodly. Not one good deed you ever do will get you yourself to heaven. It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Then we go over to these foreign religions in India and China and different places. And over in the Far East. They tell you, follow the teachings of Muhammad. Or following the teachings of Confucius. Or get over here and worship these snakes, you know. Bow down and worship life. And you know, this big old scorpion here. Or this big old cobra here. And it rises up and they're bowing down and worshiping. Whop! It hits them in the head and they die. Why? Because they're worshiping something they shouldn't have been worshiping. The Bible says they're worshiping demons and devils. That's the counsel of the ungodly. But do you want to be the blessed man? You're not following that counsel. You're not following the counsel of the ungodly. Why? Look at Psalms 33. Psalms 33 and verse 10. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Did you get that? All the counsel of the world, all the counsel of the religions, the counsels of the newspaper, the counsels of the teachers, the counsel of the religion, counsels of all wicked men and ungodly people are going to come to naught. To nothing. It's all going to come to an end someday. But where is our counsel been? Where can it be found? Is there hope for us? Where is our direction? Where is our leadership? Where do we go, my friend? If we can't listen to our leaders, if we can't listen to our teachers, if we can't listen to the religion, where do we turn to? Where is there hope? Is there any hope? Oh, yes, my friend. Look at verse 11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever.
Amen.
The thoughts of His thoughts of all generations. Praise God.
Amen.
We got a counsel that will last for generations unto generations for eternity.
Amen.
And praise God. And what will that counsel do for us? Look in Psalm 73. Psalm 73 and verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Oh, there's the blessing. There's the blessed man that follows the counsel of God. You know why? Because it will guide you unto life. If you follow the counsel of God, it's going to lead you to Jesus. And it's going to lead you to everlasting life. And look what it says. And afterward, receive me to glory. Oh, you follow that. You follow the Word of God and come to Jesus and go God's way. You know what's going to happen? You're going to go to glory. You know what's going to happen? It's going to go... Remember that?
Amen.
Yeah, you're going to shoot off into glory land.
Amen.
That's if you follow the counsel of the godly. Follow God's counsel. And what is God's counsel? Turn to Romans chapter 4. God's counsel will guide you in the way in which you should go. God's counsel will give you everlasting life. And listen to it this morning, beginning in verse 1. Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Now listen to this. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned unto Abraham for righteousness. Did you get that? Where is the blessed man? Where is the blessing? Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Where do you stand, my friend? Let me ask you something. Are you the blessed man? Have your sins been covered? Are they underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary? Where are your sins this morning? Are you still walking in your sins? Are you still living in your sins? And if you die this morning, will you die in your sins? As Jesus talked to the Pharisees and hypocrites of this day, you shall die in your sins. Where are you going to die this morning? If you was to die and drop into eternity this very morning, where would you be? Where would your sins be? Will they be underneath the blood, or will you be trying to stand in your own righteousness? Can't you not understand that your works will not save you? Cannot you not understand that your priest, that your pope, that your friend, your pastor, Brother Taylor, myself, Eddie, nobody can save you but Jesus? Amen. Where are your sins today? Are they underneath the blood? Are they covered? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus? Are you saved? I'm not asking you, do you belong to a church? I'm not asking you if you do good. I'm not asking you if you read the Bible. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm not asking you if you gave money to all the societies of the world. What I want to know this morning is, are you saved? Have you come and received Jesus as your Savior? Have you? I think about that Passover lamb and the Israelites. And how they heard from God that they were supposed to take the blood of the lamb, that innocent lamb, they were supposed to take the blood and strike it upon their top of their door and on the two sides. And then the blood would be on the bottom. They'd be inside there, and I always like to think about this. Different reactions of different people. I can see the Egyptians in the world over there in Egypt, and God's death angel is going to come that night, and Moses already said what's going to happen. And I can see this one little family in this Egyptian household. And this little boy, the firstborn, comes up to his daddy, and he says, Daddy, I got a friend over there in Israelite over there. He told me that the death angel is going to come tonight, and he's going to kill all the firstborn. And he said that if we didn't have the blood of a lamb on our door, that I'm going to be killed, the firstborn. Daddy, Daddy, is this true? Daddy, is this true? And the daddy says, don't mind that religious fanatic. Don't listen to that religious garbage. Don't even worry about it. There's no need to worry. And I think about it, as that death angel came, as that little boy was covering his bed, oh, who should I believe? Who should I believe? Should I believe my father? Should I believe what my fathers had taught me? Should I go with the religion of the world? Should I go with the religion of what my parents were? What should I do? That death angel came tonight. The blood wasn't applied to his door. That death angel came and took his life. Amen. Why? Because he didn't have the blood. Why? Because he chose to go the way of his fathers. Follow his father's religion. The tragedy of America today is so many people say, I can't get saved because my father was this, my father was a Baptist, my father was a Catholic, my father was this religion. A tragedy. But that death angel is going to come to you someday and take your life. And if your blood, if your sins aren't underneath that blood, you'll spend eternity in hell. And also think about the little Israelite out there. Two different types of Israelites, some of them their household. The little father, the little son comes up to his father and says, Daddy, has the blood applied? He said, yes, son, the blood's been applied. He said, praise God, the blood's been applied. And he goes home and he's sleeping in his bed that night and says, oh, praise you, Jesus, for the blood's been applied. I don't have to worry about the death angel. He's just going to pass over me tonight. And sure enough, the death angel passed over.
Amen.
Passed over. Why? Because of the blood. Because of the blood of that innocent lamb. Now there's another Israelite there. Daddy, Daddy, is the blood applied? Yes, son, the blood's applied. Daddy, are you sure the blood's applied? Are you sure it's going to work, Daddy? Daddy, are you sure it's going to work? Will the blood hold, Daddy? Will the angel pass over because of the blood, Daddy? Yes, son. That angel will pass over because of the blood. Are you sure, Daddy? But are you sure? Yes, we have God's word on it, son. But are you sure? And he goes home, he gets in that bed that night. Oh, I hope the blood works. Oh, I hope the blood works. And he's shaking his bed all night long. And he's shaking, he's worried. But the death angel passed over. Passed over because of the blood. There's assurance in the blood. There's assurance in the blood. I want you to know, my friend, that 2,000 years ago, God became a man. Jesus Christ. Completely God and completely man. And as a man, he walked a perfect life. And he became an innocent lamb. And one day, John the Baptist was out baptizing. You know what he said? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God was taken away the sin of the world." Jesus was the Lamb. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness for you. You see, God demanded that you follow the complete law. And there wasn't a man that ever did. But Jesus did it for us. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Each and every one of us has broken God's law. But Jesus, the Lamb of God, came and fulfilled the law for us. And you know what that Lamb did? You know what Jesus Christ did for you and I? He went to the cross of Calvary. And on that cross, He became the Lamb for us. God judged Him instead of you and me. God judged and put the wrath of God upon Jesus. Jesus died in our place. Jesus went into hell for us. Jesus rose for our justification. Jesus is alive today. And because He's alive today, He can give you life. Yes, my friend. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Do you have His blood upon you? Have you received Him? The Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name." Oh, that's all you have to do. Just believe that Jesus paid it all. Not your works, not your church, not your religion, but Jesus, the Lamb of God. Oh, it's so great, the blessings of God. God gave you that all by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not in yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. There'll be no boasting. Not before God. Did you see that? In verse 2, in Romans chapter 4, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof the glory, but not before God." Not before God. You can walk down with your righteousness, your self-righteousness, and your self-pride, and how good you are, and how much money you gave to all the society, and how much money you gave to the church, and what you did for the poor, and how many people you visited in the hospital, and you can glory before men all you want. But that ain't going to do you not one bit of good before God.
Right.
Did you see that? But not before God. He's not going to be justified before God with His word. But how are we justified? Who is it that justifies? Look in verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Oh, praise God. Jesus is the one that justifies the ungodly. Why? Because his faith, a person places his faith in the Lamb of God, believing that He fulfilled it all, that He done it all, paid our death for us. But you say, "I can't believe. I can't believe." Turn, if you will, to John chapter 20. Beginning in verse 24. John chapter 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed," get this, "blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed."
Amen. Amen.
Did you get that? You know the story. Jesus has risen again. He's appeared unto quite a few people. He's appeared unto the apostles and the disciples. But Thomas wasn't there one day. And he comes back, you know, I don't know, he must have been out fishing or doing something. He comes back and the disciples say, Thomas, guess what? You've seen the Lord today. He's arrived. He's risen again. And Thomas looks at them and says, "Oh, just get out of here. You're off your rocker here. Just go back there. You're crazy." No, Thomas, he's risen. Thomas says, "No, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it." You ever heard that excuse before? "I'm not going to believe anything unless I see it." He says, No, I will not believe. I will not believe. That's what he said there in verse 25. He said, "I will not believe." And the tragedy of this world today is too many people saying, "I will not believe. I will not believe. I will not believe." They heard the gospel over and over again, but they say, "I will not believe." A tragedy. But Jesus appears and Thomas is there. I don't even know if Thomas even got a chance to reach into his hand or put his hand in the side or touch the nail prints on Jesus' hand. All I know is Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Thomas knew who Jesus was. He knew that He was Lord and he knew that He was God Almighty. And he believed. You know what Jesus told Thomas? "Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." You want to be the blessed man this morning? You want the blessings of God upon your life? You're going to have to believe. If you're ever going to please God, you're going to have to do it by faith. You see, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you're ever going to please Him, you're going to have to believe. But I see you some there, you say, I will not believe. I will not believe. Well, I give you this warning, my friend, that before I get done preaching this day, you might die. And better yet, before I get done preaching this day, Jesus might return.
Amen.
And you're going to find all the glasses falling off. And you're going to find all the teeth falling on the ground, etc. The clothes just laying here. You're going to be sitting here just looking around. Where did everybody go? And you'll believe the counsel of God and the spaceships from planet Pluto came down and took me. But my friend, don't say I will not believe, because you're one foot out of hell. You're just one footstep out of hell this morning. Did you know that you could walk out these doors, and this will be the last time you ever hear the gospel, and you can get into your brand new 1978 Oldsmobile or whatever it may be, and get out on that Loop 410 and drive, and all of a sudden the truck in front of you will slam on its brakes, and you'll slam on your brakes, but not quick enough, and you'll smash into that thing, and you're bright, and your breath will go into the steering wheel and crush your bones, and you'll no longer be able to breathe, your head will come into the windshield, smashing and causing the blood to spill all over the place, and you'll be dead. You'll drop into eternity, and if you don't have the blood applied to you, you'll spend eternity in hell.
Amen.
And you'll be like that rich man crying out, oh, give me mercy, O Lord. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, because he was burning in hell. But there was no mercy in hell. It'd be too late. And he cried out for water. Just one drop of water, O Lord. Just one. But it was too late. There was no mercy in hell. And I want you to know, friend, there's mercy here today.
Amen.
There's mercy here today found in Jesus Christ. But you say, well, I'm young. I've got a long time to live. No, you don't, my friend. I think of my 13-year-old uncle, just 13 years old. And he was riding his bicycle one day, and he went out across the highway, and a car hit him at 45 miles an hour. He dropped into eternity. I don't know where he's at. I don't know if he knew Jesus or not. He didn't give a testimony, he did. But if he knew Jesus, he's in heaven. If he didn't know Jesus, he's in hell tonight. And he's crying out that souls be saved, just as that rich man did. Crying out that his brothers would be saved. Crying out that his parents would be saved. Crying out that you'd be saved. That you not have to come to that place of torment. And you say, well, I don't like that. I think of a 19-year-old Ember out here at Lackland, less than 3 years ago. Was out there running PC one day. He wasn't been running for 12 minutes. Just running in place for 12 minutes. And the flight commander said, flight halt. And the man on deck went down. And they rushed over to him. They thought he passed out because of the work. It wasn't that hot that day, but they just figured he passed out. Couldn't take it. And they went over there, and you know what they found? They found that he was dead. And they told everybody to get back, and they propped him up, and they started giving him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. They started pumping. They ran somebody to get the hospital, the ambulance. They called the ambulance. They're trying to get him back. They're trying to push out his heart to get him air back in him. The ambulance comes. They take him in the ambulance, and they're trying to do it. They're trying to give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. They bring him to Wilford Hall. They take him to the emergency room. They get the electric gyro there. They put it on his heart and beat on it, but there's no life in him. He's dead. He dropped into eternity. He was 19 years old. He died of a heart attack, 19 years old. And I look at the faces around here, some of you are much older than that. Your heart's been getting older as it goes on. It's getting staggering. Are you ready for eternity, my friend? Don't say you will not believe, but believe today. And blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Oh, won't you believe the Word of God? Won't you come and believe the Word of God, what God says? He says, whosoever, meaning anybody, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you but call upon Jesus, you shall be saved. Won't you do it right now? Don't wait till I end this preaching. Don't wait till I get done. Do it right now. Because Jesus may return before I get done. You may die before I get done. This building could collapse before I get done. A flood could come and wipe you out before I get done. Do it now. Won't you do it? And believe God's word. Look at Luke chapter 10. Excuse me, Luke chapter 11. Oh, that we'd come and we'd believe the Word of God.
Amen.
We get back and believing what Jesus has to say in the Word of God and God's Word and the counsel of God. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 27 it said, and it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the patch that thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. Did you get that? Did you get that? Here Jesus was out here preaching. And this lady in the back and said, praise God, blessed is the woman that had thee. Blessed is her womb. Blessed is the path that you sucked on. Oh, praise God for the woman. Praise God for the woman. And Jesus said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Amen.
You see, it's not Mary that's blessed this morning.
Right.
It's not Mary. It's not those that worship Mary as the Queen of Heaven, which Mary isn't the Queen of Heaven. Is not those that exalt Mary above the plane in which she belongs? You know who's blessed this morning? It's blessed they that hear the word of God and keep it.
Amen.
And I can see you there. I see your smiling faces sitting right there. And you say, I'm blessed. I hear the word of God and I'm blessed now. Boy, I come here to hear Brother Jones preach, not hear him beating on the pulpit, not see him putting his foot up there, and I see him running over here getting all excited, and I hear the word of God, and I see him running around, and I get excited because the man of God is happy and preaching the word with power. He said, praise God, I'm blessed because I heard the word of God. But you didn't read the rest of the verse. You missed the rest of the verse. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And keep it. The tragedy this morning is that we don't keep it. The tragedy this morning is that too many people are just hearers of the word of God. They show up for the Sunday morning service. They show up for the Sunday morning service and they sit back in their seat and they say, praise God, I'm going to get blessed because I'm hearing the word of God. But where are the doers today? Where are the doers of the word of God? How many people could be saved this morning because some that if Christians would have been doers of the word of God instead of just hearers? Turn to James chapter 1. In verse 22, it says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The problem with Christianity today is that too many people are hearers of the word. We got too many listeners and not enough doers. How can you say, honey, what's for dinner? And then you flick it on the TV, his dinner's not going to be on for 45 minutes. And you watch Little Rascals or whatever else is on at that time of day, the Gunsmoke or whatever. And you sit back and watch TV, and then praise God, the dinner's there, and it's not burnt sacrifices that night. And you get up and you get to dinner, and you say, oh, glory, I'm hungry. I had a hard day at work. And boy, it's Monday night, you know, I'm just so tired. And you just sit down there and eat, and you say, oh, we got to bless the food. We got to remember the Lord here, we got to bless the food. So you say, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, let's eat. And then you hop to it, and you start eating, and you feed your face. And then you get done, and say, boy, that sure was good. And you look at your watch, say, it's 6:30. Well, what's going on tonight? Well, no, I don't want to go out, I'll purchase, somebody cares. There's too good a movie. So you sit back in your chair, and you turn on the old boob tube, the one-eyed monster, and you sit back and you watch, and pretty soon another movie's on. Pretty soon another movie's on. And 10 o'clock comes. You say, well, I think I'll watch the news. And you sit back and you watch the news. And you see the disasters, the multitudes of people dying in a flood. You think of people dying in airplane crashes and automobile accidents. You say, oh, well, tragedy of the world, tragedy of the world. So many people dying. I wonder if they're saved. And you just sit back and, oh, 10:30. I better get to bed. I got to get up early in the morning. And you crawl into your bed. Never open the Word of God. Never been a believer of the Word of God, didn't obey the Word of God, didn't go out and be a doer of the Word of God, and you sat in your duff and doing nothing all day. And it goes day in and day out. And every once in a while you might get spiritual and you come to Sunday night services. Or Wednesday night services. But where are the doers this morning? Where are the doers of the Word of God? God is looking for someone that will stand and someone that will sweat a little as a Christian. Someone that will give up work and give up different things and work their hides off for Jesus. You know, isn't it amazing how we'll go out and how we'll do all this work out here in the farm or do these different jobs and we'll sweat and we'll be tired and we'll give up dinner. We'll give up the TV just so we can do it. We'll give up TV. We'll give up everything so we go down and go coast, go fishing. We'll do everything. We'll sacrifice all these pleasures just so we can have pleasure ourselves and just a little bit of relaxation. But when it comes time to serve God and be a doer of the Word, where are they at? Oh, it's too much to give up and come out. It's too cold or too hot tonight to go out witnessing. And, oh, I'm afraid somebody's going to shut the door in my face. But you don't really want to be the blessed man because you're not a doer of the Word. You don't keep the Word of God. Yes, you hear it. You hear it plenty because you come here. But you're not a doer. What we need is some doers. Look right across the page at verse 12. It says, blessed is a man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Are you the blessed man that endures temptation? Are you the blessed man that goes through the trials? I know what the trials are like and witnessing on the job. Some people get fired because they witness on their job. Some people get the dirty jobs because they witness on the job. Some people end up taking out the trash even though they're not supposed to take out the trash because they're witness on the job. But how many of you have endured the temptation? How many of you went through the trials? How many of you suffered for Jesus? And most of your suffering is this: oh, I got to get up Sunday morning to come to church. Oh, I'm suffering for Jesus. Oh, my friend, we know what real suffering is. How many of you have had the scourge put to your back like Paul did? How many of you had rocks thrown upon you as Paul did because of his witness? And you get worried about somebody going to slam the door in your face. A tragedy. You know what I praise God for? I praise God for people that will go out and pass out tracts in 95 degree weather. I remember 4 days before the event, the revival was here. 4 days in a row we went out. And it was too hot to be out there. We was crazy, but we went out anyway. And we went out and we was sweating, we was tired, we'd worked all the day, just like everybody else did. And we went door to door, inviting people out to revival, reviving. And then we went out day by day and hour after hour, and I don't know how many hours we put, but we went out door by door, putting these tracts and the Word of God on people's door. And it was hot, and we was tired, and we was sick. And I think about the one day Jim and I went out, and it was hot, and oh, he was sick. I never seen him just walking around, but he kept on going. We got to get it out. You know what happened? Two people got saved because of it.
Amen.
Two people got saved because of it. Two people missed hell because of it. Because somebody would endure the heat. And yet we sing our blessed assurances and do nothing. We ought to be ashamed tonight. We ought to be ashamed today. We ought to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. And if we really want to be the blessed man, we'd endure temptation. But look what we get if we endure it. For when he has tried, he shall receive a crown of life. Oh, there are blessings in serving God. Oh, everything we do, God's going to reward us for it. God's going to reward us for it. All the difficulties, all the times we sat up late at night praying for the brethren. All the times we stayed up that little extra time to read the Word of God. All the extra time that we gave to go out and witness and tell us about Jesus. We're going to receive a reward for it. God is going to bless us for it. If we do it. But where is the blessed man? Turn back to Psalm chapter 1. Lost friend, if you're lost today, get saved right now. Get saved right now. I'm dealing with the Christians right now. Christian friend, I applied the walk. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, to the ungodly, the lost this morning. But I want to talk to you right now. Blessed is the man, that's you, Christian, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Some of you are going to college, you're going to start college, some of you are going to go back to school, some of you are working, some of you have jobs, some of you have friends. Do you walk in their counsel? Do you do what they tell you to do? They'd get you to join their clubs, they'd get you to do what they do, they'd get you to go down to their bars and the places of sin and wickedness. They'd get you to walk with them, become friends with them. Do you follow them? Are you separated from the world this morning? Look at the rest of the verse. Nor stand in the way of sinners. Nor stand in the way of sinners. My Christian friend, are you standing in the way of sinners? Could somebody be saved this morning if you would have given them a witness, or are you standing in their way? Has your mouth been so bad that they don't even think you're a Christian, they don't want nothing to do with Christianity? Has your temper flared up so many times that people don't want nothing to do with Christianity more than you're standing in the way of sinners? And this morning somebody could die and drop into hell? Because you never told them about Jesus. Are you a witness? Does everybody on your job know that you're a Christian? Or are you standing in the way of sinners this morning? Look what else it says. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is a man that doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. You know, I can understand how a man will get out there and he's trying to win some friends to Jesus, and he loves them so much he becomes friends with them, and he gets caught over there in the world and he starts walking with them. I can understand that. And I can understand how the tempers might flare up, and you might do something that was wrong. You fell into sin sometime, and a sinner won't come to Jesus because of it. But what I can understand is how anybody could sit back and do nothing, not try at all, and sit back and complain and be scornful. I can't see that. I can understand how you get out there and be doing something for Jesus and fall into sin. Yes, I've done it plenty of times. But to sit back and not try, to sit back and do nothing, and just complain because somebody else didn't do enough, complain because we're too small, complain because the singing ain't good enough, complain because there's not enough money, complain, complain, complain. My Christian friend, get off your blessed assurances and do something for Jesus and be a doer of the Word this morning. Obey God. We need some obedience. We need somebody that will get some grit in them and get out there and fight. Somebody that will put on the truth, the girdle. Somebody that will carry the sword. Somebody that will yield the shield. Somebody that put on the gospel on their feet and go out and sweat a little for Jesus. We need some fighters and some warriors for Christ this morning. Blessed is a man that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Oh, there is a blessed man. It comes to the Word of God, and his delight is there. His delight isn't in the attractions of the world, but his delight is in the Word of God. And he meditates it day and night. You know, I heard a preacher preaching in a quotation from Brother Roloff. Brother Roloff was quoted as saying this: the Bible doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. That's the truth this morning.
Amen.
We don't need new translations this morning. We don't need the New American Standard. We don't need the Revised Standard. We don't need Bad News for Modern Man. We don't need the Dead Bible. What we need this morning is the Word of God to be reread.
Amen.
Praise God, we got the Word of God right in front of us, the King James Version. AV 1611. Praise God for that. It needs to be reread. We need some people that will meditate on it day and night.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that will be obedient to it and be doers of the Word. And look at here, look at the blessings you're going to get if you do this. Look at here, look what God says He's going to do for you. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Did you get that? You know a tree planted by rivers of water has got all the food it needs? Its roots are there, just got all the water that it needs, it's always there. Don't have to worry about drought because it's right next to the river. He's got the water. You know, my Christian friend, if you're meditating on the Word of God, if you're a blessed man, you've got that Holy Spirit that will continually fill you and continue to give you the strength that you need. When you get down, God will be there. Oh, praise God. You're going to bring forth fruit. You're going to see the results of working for God. People are going to get saved. You're going to see revival. Not only in your own life, but in your friends' lives, in your brothers' and sisters' lives. Oh, the blessings are there. Your leaf shall not wither. It's going to be everlasting. Oh, you're going to, instead of buying your new automobiles and your new homes, you're going to have an everlasting joy. Something that's going to endure for generations and generations into eternity. Oh, there's the blessedness. And look at this. And whatsoever you do shall prosper. Don't you want to be prosperous this morning? Wouldn't you like to see everything just go good for you? Well, get into God's Word, meditate on it day and night. Be the blessed man. Be that blessed man. Look at verse 4, my lost friend. The ungodly are not so. Did you get that? The ungodly are not so. Or like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. My ungodly friend, you don't have no rewards. You don't have no joy. You don't have nothing that's going to last. What you got is the judgment of God upon you. What you have is the wrath of God upon you. That's what you have this morning. Everything you do, although you save up your money, although you build your cars and your homes and your industries and your job security, and everything that you build up upon this world has become the chaff, as the wheat. And I've been told that what they do is they harvest all this wheat and they get a rake and they spat that wheat and the wheat will be heavier and the chaff will just blow up in the wind will carry it away. It becomes nothing. And you know what Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 3? That the chaff is burned with unquenchable fire.
Mm-hmm.
My ungodly friend, if you're not saved this morning, if you're not, your sins are underneath the blood of Jesus, you're going to be burned with unquenchable fire. You're going to be burned with unquenchable fire. Look at there. It says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire.
Amen.
You know, in Psalms chapter 1 it said, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. You're going to stand before God one day. God's going to take you out of hell if you die without Jesus today. Or if you're raptured at the end of the tribulation period. God's going to take you wherever it may be. The death and hell you've delivered to the dead which are in it. The seed are going to give up the dead which are in it. And they're all going to stand before Jesus one day. And you're going to see the wrath of God as you stand before that great white throne judgment, my ungodly friend. My lost friend. You're going to stand before Him. And you're going to see the fiery eyes of Jesus, the judge of all the earth, the Lord of lords and King of kings. And He's going to judge you for your sins. And I can see you now. You're going to come out of hell and you're going to be burning. You're going to be in pain and torment. And you think you're going to be relieved that you stand before Jesus. You say, look at here. I'm going to make the Word of God of none effect. You're going to be standing there. You say, the Word of God says they're not standing in the judgment. You say, I'm standing here. And you give your excuses to God. And you say, Lord, what about the heathen? What about the heathen? Lord, the reason I didn't believe was because I didn't know about the heathen. And God's going to answer you. And you're going to say, Lord, what about the babies? I didn't understand about the babies. What about it? God's going to answer you. You're going to say, Lord, I thought religion was going to do it. And God's going to answer you. You're going to give all your excuses and every excuse that you ever thought of. You're going to present it before God and God's going to answer you. And then what's going to happen? You're going to fall to your knees and you're going to confess that Jesus was Lord. Every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things on the earth, of things under the earth, and confess that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And you're going to bow your knees before the Lord of lords and King of kings and confess that He was Lord. And then your name's not going to be found written in the book of life because you rejected the blood of God. You rejected the Lamb of God. You rejected Jesus Christ. You refused to accept Him. You stood in your sin. You said, I will not believe. I will not believe. But my friend, that day you will believe. That day you're going to believe. And you're going to be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. Up there in verse 10 it says, where the beast and false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I want you to know, my friend, when you're cast in the lake of fire, there's not going to be rest. There's not going to be rest for not one day. There's not going to be rest for one second, not for one hour, not for one week. There'll be no rest for day and night, forever and forever and ever. You're going to burn. You're going to be tormented. You're going to plead for mercy, but no mercy. You're going to plead for water, but no water. You're going to plead for grace, but no grace. Because you rejected the blood of the Lamb. You rejected your Savior. But I want you to know, my friend, that you're going to perish if you don't come to Jesus. But there's hope. There's hope. Right now. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
I'd like every head bowed and every eye closed.
Amen.
My lost friend, are you ready for eternity? Do you realize that you're one step out of hell this morning? Are you ready for eternity? I want to ask you again, are you saved this morning? I'm not asking you, do you belong to a church? I'm not asking you, do you go to church? I'm not asking you, have you been baptized? I'm not asking you if you read the Bible, or if you do good, or give money. What I'm asking you this morning is, have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you come to Him and acknowledged that you as a sinner in need of a Savior? And have you called upon Him? Can you remember in a day in your lifetime where you called upon Jesus and asked for mercy and asked God to save you? My friend, if you can't, will you do it right now? Right now, while you have the chance. Right now, while you're still breathing. While you still have life within you, before it's eternally too late, will you call upon Jesus? If you say to me, Brent, I need prayer, and I want to talk to you, or I want to talk to Brother Taylor, or one of the elders here, or somebody about it, will you simply raise your hand and say, I want to trust Jesus as my Savior, but I need help. Will you just simply raise your hand? Well, is there anybody? Is there anybody here that says, Brent, I trusted Jesus while He was preaching? And I want to confess Him publicly this day. Will you raise your hand? Anybody? Anybody at all? My Christian friend, are you a doer of the Word? Are you just a listener? What kind of Christian are you this morning? We're going to stand and sing. What's the number?
388.
Now I want you to come down to this altar and I want you to get right with God. I know that many of you made commitments during this revival. And you need to make a commitment and follow through with it. The revival's been gone a week now. And some of you haven't followed through with what you committed to God. Let's stand and sing. 388. You have a chance right now.
Have thine own way, Lord.
my Christian friend, or lost friend, if you need to get saved, you come down here right now. You just step out of this aisle and get right with God. You come down here. Walking down this aisle, we're not safe. Not bringing out one step closer to Jesus. Remember, my lost friend, if you're lost today, it's going to be eternally too late. My Christian friend, the invitation is for you too. You have something to get right with God. You need to get up here and get on your knees before God and confess your sin. Confess that you've been just a listener of the word and not a doer. Or will you sit there in your pride and self righteousness? What will you do this morning? Have your sins been cleansed, my lost friend?
Wash me just now.
Are you white as snow? Have you been washed in the blood? Christians and confess our sins and you cleanse us. And Lord, I thank you that your long suffering is unto the lost. And Lord, that you have mercy and you spare them. And God, I pray there'll be any lost soul here this morning. They'll get saved before this day goes out. And they'll come down and follow you, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that Jesus will become Lord of every life today. In Jesus' name.